Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu, and we're joined, as always, by our very own Alex Talish and Jamie Jorers of the Packers Lounge. Also joining us as our live blog guest panelists are Nathan and Austin from the blog Bitter Border Battle. So, Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
Joining us later tonight will be longtime friend of the show, Mr. Tom Pelissero from ESPN Twin Cities. But right now, joining us live on the line is Packers linebacker Eric Walden.
How are you tonight, Mr. Walden?
How are we doing?
We're doing well. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Obviously, you're one of the newest Packers to come on board here in the 2010 season.
Right.
Before we get into exactly how you ended up in Green Bay, how was your bye week? It must have been nice to have a full week off.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I had some extra time, you know, study, get my nose in the playbook, and, you know, also, you know, get to spend time with my family. So, you know, that was a great bye week.
Fantastic. Let's go back kind of to the beginning, as it were, and look at you're from Dublin, Georgia. Do I have that
correct?
Right?
Yeah, correct.
And what's Dublin like? What's growing up in Dublin like?
Nothing, man. Pretty much like here. You know, they're passionate about their football, and you know, it's kind of ironic that our school colors are the same as the Packers, green and gold.
There you go.
It's a lot of similarities.
There you go. That's what we like to hear. And I believe you went to Middle Tennessee State, where you were some kind of standout, obviously. What was the draft process like? I know, obviously, you were drafted and then waived, and then you were picked up by Kansas City when you thought you were going to get through waivers, and then you go from Kansas City to Miami, and then you come to Green Bay. I mean, that's a long process. Start it with the beginning and you know, your draft weekend and what that whole process was like.
Man, you know, from experiencing that, it was a roller coaster, but I must say, you know, what don't kill you makes you stronger, but, you know, it was a long process, and it could have been stressful, but, you know, you throw out something like that, man, you just got to stay positive, you know, keep your faith got to be strong, you know, and keep your nose to the ground and just keep working.
Well, I have to say, when I was going back and I was reading through, you know, your journey, what I was most impressed with was when you were picked up by the Dolphins, and they you know, they had struggled on special teams, and they brought you in specifically because they wanted to bolster their special teams. And then obviously there was the incident on a special teams play that you took responsibility for. I found that pretty amazing. And then you were released, and then a few weeks later, the special teams coach for the Dolphins gets fired. Now, I know you're going to give me the PC answer, but I got to ask this question. Did that feel just a little bit like a little small piece of vindication that maybe possibly you weren't the problem?
I mean, yeah, you could look at it that way, but you know, when I made my mistake, I took my responsibility like a man. You know, and me and Coach Bonamago, we talked, you know, we discussed things. You know, I mean, I guess they looked at it as a, you know, kind of use us as a scapegoat, you know, like that was the problem. But, you know, you have to look at, evaluate your players, you know, as well as the staff. But, you know, me and Coach talked about that. We, you know, we're great friends. You know, I guess that's just, you know, things like that happen in this business. So, you know, now, you know, I was, you know, quite aware of it. So, you know, you just have to move on, man, and keep grinding and always stay positive.
Well,
there you go.
That's, you know, that's an excellent, take. Excellent advice. Obviously, I'm a little more petty. I would have taken some satisfaction from that, but that's why you play professional football and I write on a blog.
Exactly.
So now, of course, you get picked up by the Packers and you're kind of like thrown into the fire. I mean, obviously, the injury problems with the Packers are well documented. You were picked up and then you were playing against the Jets. Corey and I were at that game, and I got to say, you were making hay in the backfield. You were getting some pressure on the quarterback. Did you have to spend a lot of extra time, you know, with Kevin Green and the guys on the coaching staff? Or was that just something where you got the playbook and you were thrown in there?
Me and along with Tyrell Briggs, yeah, we had to spend extra time with Coach, you know, getting ourselves prepared to play because, you know, you know, we knew it was kind of a possibility of us playing, but we wasn't sure. So, like, we had to finish the time, you know, going over the plays, you know, the special team. And, you know, just, you know, kind of preparing yourself, you know, because when your name called, you expect it, you know, to come in and make plays because it's your job. So, you know, we prepared ourselves, and they called my number, and, you know, I was just, you know, trying to do my best, you know, to contribute for the team.
Were you surprised at the amount of snaps you got against the Jets there your first week?
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, once you get in that flow in the game, that first play, that first kickoff, or that first kickoff return, and then it's on from there. That's when you feed off that. So, you know, as the game went, you know, the more, you know, I wanted to be involved.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. So, you guys, like I said, you had the week off, and then you come back.
Right.
It's 35 degrees, and McCarthy has you guys outside. Heading into two dome games, did that surprise you a little bit?
Not really, man. You know, it's something I'm kind of glad we're. So, you know, can I, you know, kind of, you know, I'm still adjusting to this weather. So, definitely, you know, coming from Miami. But, you know, I wasn't surprised. You know, we here to work. So, you know, we weren't out there long. So we got our work done, got off, and, you know, we went from there.
Anyone watching at home, we can play a video of Mr. Eric Walden taking a ball on the strip drill, trying to get stripped by James Jones. This was thrown up on Packers.com. There he is taking it. Eric, you can't see this, but you do an excellent job of keeping that ball secure. So well done.
Appreciate it.
Hopefully, we'll see that some Sunday this year after an interception. That's
there you go.
That's what we like to see. How much? Yeah. How much extra preparation or extra work are you doing playbook-wise, film study-wise for this Minnesota game? Is this has Mike, you know, placed a little extra importance on this this Sunday, or is it kind of just business as usual?
You know, coming to a game like this, he don't really have to say much. You know, that's really on the players. We know what he expect. You know, we know what we expect out of ourselves. So, you know, we're going to, you know, approach it just like any other week. You know, your extra film, you know, extra time in the weight room, whatever you got to do to get yourself prepared to play, you know, for a big game like this, that's what you need to do. So that's how Coach approaching it. And then, you know, he had kind of installed that into us. So, you know, that's what we're looking forward to.
Well, I can't thank you enough for taking the time on your day off, of all things, to give us a call and to talk to Packer fans, both, you know, here in the States and around the world. You're an absolute legend, a gentleman, and a scholar. Thanks so much, Eric, and good luck the rest of the season.
Hey, thank you. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have a great night. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Eric Walden, linebacker for the Green Bay Packers.
There you go.
How are you, Corey Behnke?
I'm good.
How are you?
Uh-oh.
Dustin Bricker. That's
Dustin
right, ladies and gentlemen.
Bricker.
We have another guest in the crowd, in the sea of people.
He doesn't want to come on camera.
This is the new thing.
I told him he'd come
people
over here
just
and say
wanna,
hi.
People just want to hang out while we're doing the show. And
he's on the live blog right now. He's talking on the live blog. He's keeping up with the pulse of Packer Nation.
Eric Walden was a cool guy.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed that interview.
I did too. Nice. And what I liked about it is like he was so chill about everything.
Yeah,
it was great. Like, I think I need to adopt a little Eric Walden mentality in my life, especially when twittering.
It's nice to get back to basics.
It is, especially after a weekend where there was no Packer football.
You know what?
What's that?
This team is 6-3.
It is indeed, Corey Behnke. I'll see. That's awfully contemplative coming over. That's a contemplative look over there.
I'll take 12-6 all day. If at the end of 2010,
right.
It's not happening, but
okay,
I hear you. I'll just take twice as much.
I'll take 12-4.
I'll take 12-4.
All right.
I'll take 12 of anything.
Okay.
I can't count, apparently.
I understand. Hey, you're working off the
bi-week rust.
I'm actually
mesmerized by the Eric Walden interview, Estelle.
I'm telling you, man. He was like, he was sprinkling a little magic dust there.
That's a journey. I mean, he went all across this country.
Okay, I didn't want to, like, you know, I don't want to go, you know, take it all the way, like, through everything he went through. But the guy who was drafted by Dallas, and then Dallas cut him on the last cut down, and they were hoping, they told him they wanted to get him through waivers. Then Kansas City takes him. And then Kansas City cuts him. And then the Dolphins pick him up. And then the Dolphins let him go. The Dolphins bring him back specifically because their special teams look horrible on opening weekend. They bring him back. The guy helps their special teams, and then he makes a mistake of which he accounted himself And then he gets cut. And now he's a Green Bay Packer. I'm happy he is. And he's played well in the last 2 weeks. He didn't get quite as many snaps against the Cowboys as he did against the Jets, but he looked good against the Jets. I was shocked. He looked good from scrimmage, and he looked good in special teams. And God knows this team can use all the help it can get.
It really can. Everybody's talking about Dick Chang in the live blog, and it was kind of getting to me.
Bong! Dick Chang!
Where's our gong? I don't know where that is.
We're working on it. We're working on the Dick Chang gong. For those of you unaware, go back a couple weeks to the, I think it was Jets weekend, or at post-Jets weekend when Dick Chang was here.
I got to tell you, it feels really weird not to do a good, bad, and the ugly.
I know. It's throwing off the whole equilibrium, you will. So did you watch any football this weekend, Corey?
Nope.
Not a snap.
Nope.
Come on. Okay. Did you watch any football last night, which is technically the
yes.
weekend?
Yes, I did. I did.
That Michael Vick?
Yeah, because...
That Mr. Michael Vick?
Yeah, because... Wow. Well, I'll say what I told Aaron earlier. Whoa. It's hard. When Matt Millen opens his mouth, whoa, I always want to disagree with whatever he has to say. So
No.
Michael Vick is not unstoppable. Okay? And that was not the greatest game of Michael Vick's career, okay? The greatest game of Michael Vick's career was Lambeau Field playoffs beating us. Okay?
Yes.
I hate to say that, but that's the truth.
Yes.
Matt Millen.
Well, no. It wasn't. Well, okay, but I was just say this.
Everybody was. It was like, okay, that was the greatest game of football. We just witnessed history.
Well, they did send his jersey to the Hall of Fame today for the statistical output that he displayed.
That's nice. I got some canines that would dispute that.
Easy now. We're here to talk football.
Bow, bow, bow,
bow. So speaking of football.
I'm with PETA on this one.
All right. Okay. Speaking of football, the Minnesota Vikings are coming up on Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings are coming off a loss. And in the next segment, we'll be talking to one Mr. Tom Pelissero.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Until something breaks.
Yeah,
which it is sure to do, because Tom is here.
Besides the good, bad, and the ugly, not having that in the intro, you know, the other thing throwing me off is the fact I've been anxious all day because he's coming on. Okay? And so I've been looking for things to break.
Yep. And you're just trying to, like, triple check and make sure everything's okay.
Because, yeah.
Internet is working.
Even on a good day, Packer Transplants isn't necessarily on there.
You know what, Packer? I figured
Packer
this out.
Packer Transplants is like a software product on DOS 3.0.
No. I found the perfect analogy for what Packer Transplants is.
Okay, lay it on me.
Because this came to me as I was speaking with a friend back home. Packer Transplants is like the Millennium Falcon. All right? It's really freaking cool when it works. But every once in a while... You're in a little trouble. You reach for a button and you say, oh, yeah? Watch this.
Yeah.
And then everything, like, breaks.
Yeah.
That's Packer Transplants. Yeah. Packer Transplants is the Millennium Falcon. Thank you. Good night. It's true. It's the show is awesome.
I don't know if we're as cool as the Millennium Falcon, though. That's the only thing I'm.
Oh, dude, I'm so all over it. I'm so all over it.
So bitter border battles in the house.
They are indeed. The spearheading force behind Corey's face painted appearance last week, which I have to say, Corey and I are very proud of the fact that we didn't once acknowledge it the entire time we were on the air.
Yeah.
I just thought that was great.
What happened?
I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
So did you realize the same day we bring Bitter Border Battle on,
right?
Okay, who becomes a permanent panelist here at Packer Transplants?
Max Ginsburg.
Purple pants, green jersey. Is it a... Yeah, that's I get it right.
That's right. That's right. I will only remind you that last time I think you called his blog crap.
No.
Or something.
I said something. It was. It had crap in it, but it was better than that. It was better than just his blog. Because his blog isn't. You know, it was like...
It was something.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember.
Although, I will only say, at the moment, I don't think Max is on... Oh, there's Max. Okay. He's changed his avatar. It kind of just freaked me out.
So, yeah, does that mean you're Han Solo if we're the Millennium Falcon?
I don't know. And you're Chewbacca? Yes. That's exactly what it means.
I would rather be C-3PO.
Oh, that actually fits. I think that's good. You're a C-3PO and R2-D2 rolled into
there
one.
You go.
Because you talk about it... But you also fix it, so it's good. I like it. So should we talk some football or
let's do
no?
It.
No, no,
I'm
you don't.
Excited.
You don't want to talk about football. I get
no,
it.
I do.
I get the vibe over there.
But what's to talk about? We're going
We've
to be.
Time.
We're going to beat the Vikings.
Are we?
Yes.
Are we?
Yes.
You're sure of this?
Yes, I'm sure of this.
In the Metrodome?
Yes.
The building we lost in the year we won the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just saying, there's history.
I don't have any doubt.
No doubt. Nope. None whatsoever?
Nope.
Zero
have
doubt.
Have you watched the Vikings this year?
I have. And yes, they suck.
They're terrible.
Oh, I gotta say.
Look, if Tom, look, Chip Scoggins came in here.
Oh, no.
Okay?
Oh,
Chip Scoggins came into my house.
Oh, here we go.
Okay? And he said.
Yes, he did.
That the Minnesota Vikings were going to win. And there was no way the Green Bay Packers could beat them in Lambeau. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Oh, and not only that, they were going to win the division.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. It was all set up, by the way.
I love how they win one game and people are like, oh, they're back in it. No, no.
Well, not anymore.
No. They're on the death knell, and you know what they need? They need a good 1996 blow to the face, okay? I'll take a 2010 kick in the pants. And you know what? Don't let the door hit you on the way out of the NFL.
Okay, let me just lay this, because I don't want to read Tom stuff he's written, but this is fantastic from his column after the Vikings lost to the Bears this past Sunday over at 1500 ESPN Twin Cities. He writes a quote from Jared Allen, who says, "It ain't over yet. We can still go 10-6. I know that's optimism, but heck. What are we going to be? Jars half empty guy?" That's Jared Allen talking. Here comes Tom's rebuke to that. "At this point, half empty would be an improvement. This jar is coated with a thin film of backwash delusions from a locker room that hasn't bettered a decent outfit yet." Tom Pelissero! That is excellent. I'm sorry.
I like that.
That is excellent.
I like that.
Absolutely adored that.
I feel bad for even putting Chip Scoggins next to Tom Pelissero for a second there.
Well, to be fair, I did give Chip a little bit of heck about it on Twitter after the Bear game, and he said, "Wow, yeah, can I have a do-over?" And I told him he couldn't have a do-over because he'd probably pick the Bears.
Oh, snap.
So here we go. Lovely Smith, after that game, said that they played a really great game, and they're playing really good football, and he wants to, you know, get back Thursday night against the Dolphins and keep going. Newsflash, that game was hard to watch. It was entertaining. I will say that. I was shocked at how entertaining it was, but it was not what you would call good football.
I mean, are you all of a sudden on the Michael Vick bandwagon?
Holy, what? Whoa, dude. Okay. No.
No, we never finished that.
All right.
Are you?
That's what we do around
you
here.
Let me say what stuff. You let me say what I wanted to say about it, and then you just kind of said
I think
nothing.
Michael Vick is exponentially better than he was before the entire dogfighting incident and the prison sentence and coming back and blah, 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 blah. And last year, he is exponentially a better quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's an insanely huge weapon for the Eagles. Is he, you know, unbeatable? No, of course not. But, and last night was a perfect storm. Let's be
exactly
clear about this. This was not this out-of-this-world performance against an amazing opponent. Like, this wasn't... I'll even say this. As wonderful and as amazing as an incredible and jaw-dropping as the stats were that Michael Vick put up last night, I'm not nearly as impressed by that as I was with what Tom Brady did in Pittsburgh against the Steelers
mm-hmm.
on Sunday night. That was an amazing performance. And the passion and the anger and the everything you saw from Tom Brady on Sunday night... Whoa, I don't want to see that Tom Brady when the Packers go to the Patriots Stadium there, Gillette. I don't want to see that. I don't want any part of that because, holy cow, that was a man on a mission. He was two things. He was both the Blues Brothers who were on a mission from God, and he was also Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glen Ross who said, "I'm here on a mission of mercy." He was both of those things rolled into one on Sunday night.
So before we go to break, who do you think is who do you think is the number one team the Packers have to look out for on the schedule?
Well, I got to say the biggest game is the Atlanta game.
Ooh, that's what Dustin said, too. Ding, 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 ding.
I think it's the Atlanta game.
Drink one for Dustin.
Yeah, drink one for Dustin. There you go.
For getting it right.
Oh, but no, just because I don't think the Bears are that good, and I think they'll get beat a couple times before we play them at the end of the year. I think the Giants, yeah. while they were not exposed against the Cowboys, I don't think they are as good as their record made them out to be, especially after beating up on a really weak Seattle team.
Yeah.
Atlanta, I think, is the real deal. And adding into the fact that they're in the NFC and will be hopefully, cross your fingers, competing with them for home field advantage.
Mm. Don't play around like that.
I'm just saying. Where would you rather go?
No, listen.
To the Atlanta Dome.
I'm not going to be able to go.
Or the frozen tundra.
If the Packers don't have a home playoff game this year, the travesty is that I will not be going to Lambeau Field this year. I'll have all road games.
That's not right.
Gone to all road games and no home games.
That's not right.
No, it's not. Now, if they get a home playoff game.
You're there.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Oh,
I'm on the 50 in Grandpa's seats. Don't play around.
Don't play around.
Don't play.
So, yes, Atlanta. That's a huge game. And as it said, Jeff Blum tweeted today.
Jeff Blum.
He tweets like once every 5 years. But today he tweeted that the Atlanta game will stay at 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 Central. It won't be moved.
Won't be picked up.
As will, I got a bunch of questions about this today. The Vikings game, no, there's no chance they move that. That's 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Central. So make your plans accordingly for Packer domination. Coming up this month.
That'd be a good thing.
Well, let's start Sunday in Minnesota. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live, and I can only apologize. What do I have to apologize for? Because I was going to have audio of Rock of Ages ready to play when our guest made his arrival here tonight. Tom Pelissero, how are you tonight?
Doing well, fellas. How you doing?
Doing well. Well, Tom, I got to say, I read something in the last segment from your column after the game, after the Vikings lost to the Bears. I got to say, that's one of the best columns you've ever written, hands down.
Because I'm writing off the Vikings season? I'm sure you guys enjoyed that part.
Well, let me tell you, that added a little extra to it. I will say that. But no, just it's the way you played off, like the Jared Allen quote and the whole the jar half empty thing. That was great. Just great. Just great. So I just wanted to give you props.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, as always, another fun week at Winter Park. I would ask what the mood is like, but I'm not sure I want to know. So I'll ask, what's the mood like?
Yeah, the mood, it was definitely different yesterday. I mean, you had a bunch of veteran players, Jared Allen, Pat Williams, Phil Wildholt, some other guys who refused to talk to reporters. And then rookie Chris Cook said, he was asked about it, and he said, yeah, no one's really talking around here at all today. Don't really know what's going through their heads, but it's tough being 3-6, and that's really where this team is at right now. It's just, you know, like you guys mentioned, all the stuff in my column where guys keep talking about, well, we can still go 10-6, and last I checked, that's an awfully respectable record. Well, guess what? Let's start with winning a game. I mean, if you can't win one, how in the world can you look at anything that the Vikings have done this season and expect that they can win two in a row, much less seven?
Let's get the big thing. We won't talk about the huge thing until the end, I guess. But I guess the number one worry that I think Packer fans have had all year is that Sidney Rice is going to throw off a cape, come on the field, and just all of a sudden be the exact same receiver he was last year, who terrorized the league, made beautiful music with Favre, and basically made the Packers miserable for two games. I know he's been practicing. Reports have said he's looked good, but he hasn't been activated yet. So what's the word there? What are you hearing as far as his availability for this Sunday?
Well, it's not in the Vikings' hands. The Vikings want to activate him. I was told last week that they were 100% ready to activate him and wanted him to play on Sunday, but they're not going to twist his arm behind his back and force him to go out there. And when I asked Sidney last week, you know, the ultimate question, which is, do you know that if you go out there and play poorly or if you suffer a setback, that it could have a significant impact on what happens to you in March when he potentially could become a free agent, depending on what happens with the collective bargaining agreement? But he doesn't sign me on the season, and that's been one of the things that's always been hovering. It's been the elephant in the room since the beginning. And Rice's response was, it's huge, because if he has a setback, he knows what that would mean. So right now, he doesn't want to go out there at anything less than 100% and anything less than his full confidence level, because he can only hurt himself. Whereas right now, any GMs around the league thinking about Sidney Rice or thinking about his 2009 tape, that's where the Vikings are at right now. They think, I've seen him in practice, and you know, my relatively untrained eye says he's looked awfully good out there. The Vikings agree, but there's nothing they can do if he doesn't think that he can go on the football field or doesn't want to be on the football field. And right now, in between him and Bernard Berrien dropping out an hour before kickoff, those were the first signs to me that you're starting to have some guys who wonder if it's worth putting it on the line for this team right now.
Well, and there was the telltale shot that Fox had of, you know, after Harvin had gone out, of those three receivers sitting together, and, you know, Favre trying to, you know, throw it around to Camarillo and the tight end there. What is Favre? I mean, I know a lot of people have said, here he is, he's 41, he's taken all this punishment, he's a walking injury. You know, he still had some nice plays. He had the touchdown to Harvin. He still beat the cover two a couple times. But is the accuracy off? Is the power off? Or is he just playing this poorly? I mean, I know he's way down at the bottom of the passer ratings and you know, all the other stats you want to throw, but is he just playing this poorly?
Well, I'd say this. The numbers at this point are a little deceiving because Favre, the first 6 weeks of the season, was as bad as the numbers indicate. He was missing on a lot of short throws. The slants, the quick square ends, all the throws that Favre had built his career on, really just being able to make those precision throws 100% of the time, he was missing those. And that was killing them again and again in the second half of games. Think back to the opener against New Orleans. I think everybody in the country was watching that game. How many throws down the stretch? When they were in that game against the defending champs at the Superdome, I think the final was 14-9, and again, Favre on third downs was simply misfiring. Over the past 3 weeks here, we've seen a difference. Favre's, you know, Vasante Shanko said that his aura seemed to be back a little bit, you know, whether you buy into that, but he was more accurate. Even in the game, he had four turnovers against Chicago, but two of those were guys basically falling down. Another one was probably a poor pass intended for Shanko, but still overall in that game, there were a lot of throws he was missing, but I wouldn't put them all on him because he's out there throwing, like you said, to the Greg Camarillos and Hank Baskets of the world. Mm-hmm. He's not throwing to the guys who are normally in those spots. Think about this, guys. Favre went through the entire week throwing to Berrien at the X position. An hour before kickoff, Greg Camarillo's told, and Greg Lewis are told, you're going to have to play all the X snaps. That's a huge difference for those guys. It made Greg Lewis go out there and play 57 snaps or whatever it was. And Lewis, I don't even know, I think he had one catch for 13 yards at the end of the game. That's a huge difference when you're talking about the talent level between a Berrien and a Lewis. And you could see also that there were guys being put in unfamiliar positions. When Favre guns that ball through Greg Camarillo at the goal line, he said he'd never thrown that route to Greg Camarillo ever, because Camarillo normally isn't on the field in that package. It's just, that stuff adds up, and it's been going since August. This rotating cast of receivers, they've never been able to develop a rhythm. They've never had the same group of guys out there two, three consecutive weeks in a row. And it's just hard to develop the rhythm with your receivers when that's going on.
And so I guess the not so obvious if you're Brad Childress, but the obvious question then is, why are they not leaning on Adrian Peterson? Like, I would just think that they would line up, and Favre alluded to it in his press conference where he said, you know, the Bears don't adjust. They play cover two. They're begging you to run the ball. And, you know, a lot was made of how Peterson only had 52 yards, but they didn't really feed him the ball.
Yeah, and that's always something that you look at. You know, when you're looking at the run-pass ratio, you always got to look at what they're doing on first and second down early in the game. And there was a mix, but I think they had five negative runs, which, when you have those on first and second down, that's the reason that you end up 1-for-11 or whatever they were, 1-for-9 on third downs. So they were time and again ending up in these 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-9, because when they were giving the ball to Peterson on first down, he was getting knocked for a 2-yard loss. And very little of that, it tends to be on the backs. Usually that's on the guys up front. They didn't run block well in this game. Chicago, you know how they love to fire those linebackers through the inside gaps, plug the A-gaps, not let anything get out. They don't blitz a whole lot. I think they blitzed three times in that entire game, but they're constantly plugging Urlacher and Briggs up front so that when you do run the football, those guys are there. Time and again, I mean, fullback Fautahi did not lead well in that game. He barely played. The tight ends were okay, but Shanko didn't block particularly well. You lost John Sullivan in the first quarter, so then you get a smaller man, John Cooper, in there who has done a solid job but is going to get walked back now and then. You know, it's not unlike Scott Wells. He's a much less experienced player, but when you have a smaller center and you get a big defensive tackle over him a few times a game, he's just going to get walked back. So all that added up to the running game was not particularly productive, and then they ended up having to throw more. It just, It was a disaster in three phases. That's the best way I can put that game against Chicago was they were terrible on offense for a lot of the game. They were not good on defense, and special teams for a second straight week was a disaster.
Speaking of the defense, I mean, a lot was made against the, you know, less than a powerhouse Arizona Cardinals coming in, and Jared Allen finally, you know, got some pressure, and the defensive line seemed to finally be gelling and, you know, collapsing the pocket. But I just think all year I've watched that line, and it just seems that there doesn't seem to be any push whatsoever. Have they just have they fallen off as a group outside of Ray Edwards? Because I know Edwards has still got it, but it really seems that, like, across the board, the even at home where they almost always dominate, they haven't really had the four man push. And I saw quite a few, you know, third down blitzes on Sunday, and I know, you know, Frazier's not totally averse to blitzing, but he does like to stay out in that cover two and rush with four. So has that just been as noticeable to you? Is that something? Am I imagining that, or is it just you know, just a question of age catching up with these guys?
No, you're absolutely right. They haven't had the consistent push. The pressure has improved over the last two games. I think that my memory serves, Allen and Edwards combined for 13 pressures against Chicago, which isn't bad, but they're not wrapping them up. And part of that has to do with the fact that you're not getting an interior rush. Kevin Williams is maybe getting one or two pressures a game. They've rotated a bunch of different guys as the other nickel rusher, LaTroy guy on. Pat Williams has never been really a pass-rushing threat. They've looked at Fred Evans. They've looked at a whole bunch of guys. Everson Griffin, the rookie, started playing a little bit, but not a whole lot inside. When you don't have that interior, it doesn't matter. You can speed rush all day, but a quarterback who moves as well as Jay Cutler in and out of the pocket will just make you miss. And that's what you saw was he had that window to step up. You know, one time Ray Edwards takes his rush a little too wide and Cutler runs for 25 yards. It's stuff like that that's gotten him again and again. But you also go back to the way that Chad Clifton had one-on-one matchup with Jared Allen all day in the first matchup against the Packers, and Allen went nowhere. You look at that as the Vikings, and you go, what in the world has happened to Jared Allen? I think that he has improved over the past couple of weeks here, but he's not the player that he has been the past couple of years, and he's certainly not a guy who is playing like he's worth $10 million a year right now.
Well, there's no question about that. Looking back, and I know obviously we're talking a lot about the Vikings because we got Tom Pelissero, who's an expert at this point. But, you know, going back to the Packers matchup, you know, going into this matchup with the Packers and the Vikings on Sunday, a little different in that Randy Moss isn't on the field. We don't know who will be on the field for the Vikings at the receiver position. How do you think they try and attack the Packer defense? I mean, the Packer defense obviously is playing very well. You know, they had the shutout in New York, and then they played very well against the Cowboys, although the Cowboys were in total mail-it-in mode at that point. How do you think Favre and Bevel will go about trying to, pick apart the Packer defense?
Well, the biggest thing is, what do they have at the receiver position? You alluded to it. I mean, they could have Harvin, Berrien, and Rice all out there. They could have none of them. I don't think they'll have none of them. I think that they'll probably have Harvin. I would say that there's a decent chance they have Berrien. I wouldn't count on Rice at this point just because I still don't think that he's convinced that he really wants to be out there. We'll have to see. I think that that'll dictate to an extent. I would think that based on the strength of the Packers rush, obviously coming from Clay Matthews, you'll see some line slides. You'll see Jim Kleinsaucer over there helping out a little bit. But in the end, you've got to be able to run the football against that Packers defense. I mean, you've got to be able to get Adrian Peterson going. And one of the mistakes that the Vikings have made in the past is trying to run Peterson to the edges, which isn't the strength of this game. His strength is running those inside zones, being able to gash the team between the tackles. When they try to get him to the perimeter, it's a little more difficult. You know, and I think that the Packers in general have matched up against the Vikings two tight sets with their nickel defense because that allows Charles Woodson to play over the tight end and be able to help out in run support. Somehow you've got to be able to get the Packers spread out a little bit, get Woodson out of there, get in some favorable matchups to run the football, or else they're going to be in trouble. They're not an explosive passing team. They're not going to beat you down the field. Even when they had Randy Moss, there were very few balls being thrown down the field. Depending what happens with Berrien, he'd be another guy you'd think can go over the top, but really hasn't done it. And Harvin, they take one or two shot plays a game to him. In the end, they've got to be able to get the ball to Adrian Peterson. He's got to have a good game for them to win.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. The Packers, miraculously, they were, you know, put up a ton of yardage, Peterson did, but the Packers were defending it with, you know, I guess fourth and fifth string guys at that point. Hopefully they'll be a little more fortified for this game on Sunday. So there it is. Tom Pelissero breaking down Minnesota Vikings for all you in Packer Nation.
Dropping knowledge bombs.
Because that's what he does. Tom, I'm shocked. I'm just waiting for the power to go out or for, you know, a boom mic to fall down.
I've been waiting for that for this whole time.
The whole segment.
Okay.
You know what's funny is that I actually went out and got a new cell phone today because I've been having trouble with the other one. I'm like, man, if that call drops with those guys tonight, I'm never going to hear the end of it.
Yeah! There we go. We've shamed him into a new cell phone purchase. That's what we like to hear. All right, Tom, as always, it's fantastic. Your knowledge is, you know, second to none. Thanks so much for coming on and talking to Packer fans about their hated rival.
Am I going to see you down at the Combine this year?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll definitely be there.
All right, we'll catch you then.
We'll see you then, Tom. Thanks a lot. Have a great night.
See you, boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Tom Pelissero, ESPN Twin Cities. For all your Viking needs, not that you have any.
I don't have any.
But I'm telling you.
Apparently.
After the Vikings lose, Tom Pelissero is a cannot-miss read. I'm telling you. Anytime they lose, fantastic stuff. Fantastic. You know how it's total schadenfreude. You like to go and like see how miserable your opponent is, especially when it's the Vikings or the Bears. I'm telling you.
Yes.
Go read Tom after they lose. It's awesome.
I should do that.
I'm telling you, man. It's great. Love it. Yes, Holly. Schoen Favre. That is correct.
I'll just be happy when the end of Farvageddon, that last chapter of Farvageddon.
It's it. This Sunday, man. How do you feel about that?
The last chapter will be...
The final chapter.
It'll be like the glaciers just falling
into
the ocean.
It's Revenge of the Sith, Packers style, this Sunday.
It's like you had number one and you had number two, but you know what? You have to start from somewhere so that you can climb to the top of the mountain. And you can end the movie with the Packers beating the Vikings in the dome.
In the dome!
Sending the old man in the sea...
Of turnovers.
Of turnovers.
Like that?
That's my favorite title of any podcast we've ever done in the history of 81 podcasts.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
It only took you 81
podcasts.
81
tries for me to get a positive response from you in regards to the title. those who don't know, yes, we do title these. They are available in podcast form.
Because why not?
Afterwards. And every week, Corey emails me and says, name of show. Not, hey, Aaron, how was your weekend? Not... Hey, man, could you send me the title of the
because
show?
Because as soon as I have...
What should be the title of the show? Anything like that. Name of show. That's it. That's the email I get every week.
As soon as I have the name of the show, I can create the intro and the outro. And
I
the
hear you.
Mid-tro.
And then every week, I email him. Every week, I get that email, and I think, oh, man.
Wait, you get what email?
That email.
What's that email?
Name of show.
No, I know, but what about another certain email? Oh, I thought you were talking about that email. Sorry.
Oh, man. That email was awesome. That email just made my day. For those of you
that was good.
Who
that
are
was
unaware, good. I can't imagine who that would be. But for those of you who are unaware, Corey and I receive what can only be described as a love letter from a Cheesehead TV superfan about yours truly. If you haven't checked it out, check out the homepage. It's entitled Best Reader Email Ever from a gentleman who doesn't like Aaron Nagler.
No.
Apparently. I don't know.
I
didn't want to talk about it because he said at the end, you know, go ahead and rip me apart because I won't be listening. So I don't want to talk to this guy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
all
right. It's fine. It's, he's not
you know
listening,
me. I like
so.
To take the show off the rails. So
yes, you do.
You just were talking about an email, and there's only one email this week that kind of sticks out of my mind.
That email definitely sticks out. Oh, wait. Okay. Speaking of sticking out, and we're totally off the rails, so let's do it. Congratulations. Jason Wilde found out he's having another girl today. He's going to be a father of two girls. Wilde, congratulations. Being a father of daughters is fan-flippin-tastic.
That's great.
That's all I want to say. That's all I got to say about that. And then, this is totally just coming into my head.
I'm scared.
I'm thinking of all the stuff I've read today. And condolences to Donald Driver, who...
Oh, yeah.
It was said, you know, a bunch of people reported that he missed practice yesterday. McCarthy said it was for a personal reason. Turns out his best friend passed away this weekend from cancer, apparently died in his arms. And this guy introduced Donald Driver to his wife. So, condolences to Donald Driver.
Yeah.
One of the greatest all-time Packers ever. I don't think there's any question about that. Leading receiver in Packer history. And all-around great guy. And if you have not read Donald Driver's children's books, the character that they're based around is called Quickie. If you haven't read them, they're fantastic. I got them for my girls. They're absolutely lovely. Donald Driver, ultimate Packer. God bless you. Thoughts and prayers.
Are you
Alex? Alex is saying he tweeted us. Who tweeted us? What? Uh-oh.
Donald.
Max, care to take this? Should we call Alex?
Donald
I think
Driver.
We need to call Alex.
Okay.
I think it's time to call Alex Talish of the Packers Lounge.
You think he'll answer?
No, I doubt it. Yes, Adam. He writes. He's written a couple. Adam on the live blog asks. Driver writes children's books. Yes, he's written a couple. Check them out. You can find them on Amazon. They're fantastic. Oh, J.C. Lombardi tweeted us. Oh, that's not right.
Yeah.
That's not right. Although it's kind of funny. He might have been the one who wrote the email.
Timmy.
Oh dear.
I guess he's not going to answer.
He's not going to. He doesn't want to be on. Okay. He's digging out from the big snowstorm. That was in the Twin Cities. It's like 70 degrees in New York on Saturday, and I'm reading about this huge snowstorm in Minneapolis.
Dude, I'm here.
There he is.
I've been here.
Alex Talish. How are you, sir? So J.C. Lombardi had something to say. What do you have to say?
He just tweeted us out of the blue being all nice yesterday. He's like, I don't know, something exclamation point, you guys rule or something. And I don't remember quite what it was, but I almost fell over.
Now he's trying to be nice. Now he's just kissing our ass. For those of you who don't know, there's some people asking on the live blog, Alex, why don't you tell us, who is J.C. Lombardi?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. Come on. If anyone knows who he is, you do.
He's like some old freaky dude that writes some old freaky stuff, man. That's all I can say. Google John Redfern.
That's all I can tell you, man.
He's a freaking whack job. That's exactly right.
There you go.
I don't know, man.
That about covers it.
Thank God that slander and libel laws don't exist in this country like they do in England.
Go judge for yourself, John.
But
Redfern,
no, wait. But did he?
Check out
did he
site.
Or did he not write you an email about like blogging for the Packers Lounge back in the day when you were independent before you joined?
Well,
the
he's
PZ
written
TV
me
umbrella.
And several people an email. But yeah, I mean, I tried to actually have him on my show. You remember when I had that awesome show, that one episode called
Dude,
Around the Lounge?
That show was awesome.
I actually like that.
I know that show was awesome.
And can I just add? I think it was more than one. More than one episode. And
yeah,
may I add?
It was like three episodes because you were on it.
I would just
want
to say, I'm the reigning champion. I won the first ever episode.
He did.
It was a game show.
He did.
Much like Around the Horn, and I won it.
That's when he really didn't like me, though, so I kind of gave it to you.
I loved you, Alex. Come on. I've always loved you. Give me a break.
Oh.
Look for sympathy here, Talish.
Anyway, I invited him on the show, and he sends me this big, long email. Well, I'd love to come on your show, but I don't know if you can really handle my legendary skills as a writer and a pack reporter. You know, I'm not quite sure. And then he said he was going to come on, and like 5 minutes before the show starts, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I just can't put myself on the show with my career and my legend status the way it is. I'm sorry, maybe some other time. Something to that effect.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
He's legend. He's a
legend. He's a legend. I know.
In his own mind.
And that's what that's how he signs his emails. He says, legendary blogger, J.C. Lombardi.
I know.
And of course, his name is John Redfern, and he's just added Lombardi.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Google it. I'm telling you. Someone post a link. Just do it. Let's
Talish.
Talk some Packers.
Talish.
Why are we not talk Packers?
Talish. Let's talk some Packers here.
All right.
Is the season still over? Because I think after the Miami game, you wrote that it was over.
Someone called me out on that, too. Is that dude on the blog, by the way?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm just asking. Because I went back and read. I'm pretty sure you said the season was over.
I didn't say it was over. I said
is it over?
If there weren't some serious changes made, I said this team was average at best. And there's been some serious changes made, most notably in attitude.
Okay, I see. All right. So Because they really mean it now. It's like that kid in recess when, like, you play and you beat his butt, and then he says, okay, now I'm really going to try. Are the Packers really trying now? Is that it?
I don't know if the Packers are really trying, more that the guys that are in there now are trying. I hate to say it. Look at a guy like Desmond Bishop. Guys are getting a chance to play, and those are the guys that are playing right now.
Well,
I hate
and that's,
to say it.
No. I think there's some validity to that. I wanted to say I was talking to somebody. I can't remember who I was talking to anymore. I'm just getting old.
2,000 tweets later.
I know,
it gets
right?
Fun.
I'm just getting old. But no, I agree that, you know, there are some people who are coming to the fore. You know, Mr. Charlie Peppra, who probably should have been starting from the beginning.
He almost made my favorite player.
Desmond Bishop, definitely playing as though he probably should have been in the starting lineup all along. You know, these are guys who are emerging who. Maybe that's the thing that you saw after Miami, that something needed to change. Well, the injury report is doing it for you. It's making that change happen.
It's something happened because the Packers are playing more inspired football than they had in the beginning of the season. I think that's pretty obvious to state. And you play inspired football, you're going to win games. You only win when you want to win. And that's a change that needed to be made. They were an average team 4 weeks ago. They really were.
You know who else gave up on the season?
Who's that?
Packers therapy.
Hi.
You know what? And you know what? On Cheesehead TV, see, this is how we roll.
This is how we do it, people.
We say we're devoted to Packer fans worldwide, and we mean it. So even if you run a terrible website called PackerChatters.com, we will say your name. We won't be like the other guys. I mean, seriously?
Okay.
Seriously.
As usual, Corey is off on a tangent here.
Packers therapy is actually pretty funny on Twitter, though. If you're not following the guy,
they totally play up Cheesehead TV and everything, but apparently on their podcast,
we're the other show.
You can't. It's like saying in
he
Harry Potter.
Shall, yeah,
exactly.
Shall
it's
not
like Voldemort
named.
Here. It's
that's,
craziness.
That's Cheesehead TV.
Cheesehead TV is the Voldemort to Packer Packers therapy.
That makes sense.
Cheesehead TV talks about Packers, which we're not doing right now. And believe it or not, I want to talk some Packers.
So what do you want to talk about? You said the season was over. I'd love to talk about the Packers, but the season was over, according to Packers Lounge.
How can you talk about a team whose
season is over?
I said we were average at best at that time. I mean, we're playing better football.
All right.
Hey,
I hear
I'll
that.
Always be a Packer fan.
So
hey, no one else was.
No one's debating that. No one's debating that. All right. So, who? What? How do you see? How do you see Sunday shaking out? Their talent.
I don't know, but I'm going to talk about it because you kind of stole my article. Because one thing I want to touch about that this could be the last time we have the stupid Favre argument to deal with. You know, I was just thinking about that the other day. You know, this. Hopefully, God, I'll only believe it when I see it. Of course, but. We're never going to have to go through this again, and we can close the door. And if there's one guy not happier about that, it's me.
I couldn't agree
more. That came
more.
Out wrong.
I know, I hear you. I hear it. And I totally agree with what you're saying. But do you think – Corey has zero doubt that the Packers are going to win this game. Do you, Alex Talish of the Packers Lounge, have zero doubt that the Packers are going to win this game?
Of course, dude. It's the Vikings. They're terrible.
What else needs to be said?
That's it, dude. That is it. Where else can you get such hard-hitting analysis? Tom Pelissero talks for like 30 minutes about all these intricate things, about like personnel, this, that, and the other thing, number of snaps, blitzes, the tendencies, all this stuff. Forget all that. Talish just broke it down for you. The Vikings are terrible. I don't know. What else can we say?
Nothing. I think it's time to take a break.
Alex, I think you're absolutely right, and you're absolutely wonderful for answering the phone.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Have a great night. Alex Talish of the Packers Lounge. You never know what the heck is going to happen here.
And I do need, truth be told, I do need the Packers Lounge on the phone animation. What a slacker.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. And just for the record, we do realize, or at least I realize, that there is not a PackersTherapy.com or Packers Chatters thing.
Oh dear.
But it's all right. We know Packers Therapy. We know you're out there. We love you.
Everybody knows what Packers Therapy is.
You cannot be a Packer fan on the internet and not know what Packers Therapy is. Just say, why does it hurt you? Why does it got to pain you so to say the words she said TV?
Why you got to play
or
us?
Packer transplant?
Why you got to play us like we're Voldemort?
Or just Aaron and Corey? Just like, why? Why is that got to, why? Why the Chinese wall? We're all Packer fans here. Let us in, man. Let us in.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. When we come back, talk a little bit more Pack. We'll get Brian Caravu on the line, who's back from his vacay. And who knows what other hijinks will ensue. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live here. Packer Transplants. Corey Behnke going crazy behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. Exciting stuff.
Woo! Our intern left. He just straight up dissed us. I feel sad and lonely now.
Where's my iPad?
There's just an empty seat where Dustin was sitting. He's gone.
He's like, oh, my girlfriend, meanwhile.
My girlfriend's mad at me.
Meanwhile,
I gotta go.
He knows the show's an hour and a half.
He does know that. Not like it's we're springing out at him like it's a surprise or something.
What can you do?
Oh, dear. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Can't do anything.
Let's talk some Packers.
Let's do it.
So, I've heard Tom Pelissero. I've heard Eric Walden. Now I want to talk what I think about this Vikings game. As I wrote earlier this year, or I'm sorry, earlier this week, this is the Vikings Super Bowl, people. This is it. This is their whole season. I know they suck. I know they're terrible. And I know that we, the Packers, are a better team. None of this is in dispute. But Sunday is their Super Bowl. And Ziggy Wilf, more than any other game, wants to win this game.
They're not going to win it, though.
Let me show you something.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay.
Let me show you something.
Do it.
Let me show you why the Packers will win. That's why I do think the Packers will win, but I'm still very worried. Let's play the far. It says Favre INT there on your screen. I found this really interesting just because coming into the offseason, one of the biggest worries that the Packers had were these bunch, these receiving formations with a lot of like bunch receivers. Three or four. Here, the Vikings have four guys lined up to one side. All like you see them there, bottom of your screen. How will the Packers respond to this? Now, of course, this is just great hustle by Mr. Brad Jones, who's now on IR, unfortunately.
Yikes!
To get the hit on Favre, but I just love this shot because it's coach's film, and it shows you how just in sync the Packers defense is. If there's not a guy just running free anywhere like there were, say, against Arizona in the playoffs. You just see every white jersey, there's a green jersey. The way it should be. So I like that. I like that Capers has brought that. I think, like I said, that was one of the biggest worries heading into 2010. And Capers seems to have, straighten that out, as it were. Yes, you still have some crossing routes where guys will get free on man coverage. That's going to happen. But now play Collins INT. I like this one for two reasons. One, because it shows Nick Collins making an amazing play. But just notice how a lot was made about how Percy Harvin has a very lazy route here. Watch him come. He comes up at the top of your screen. He kind of curves this route out. When he sees Collins, he's got to cut it straight across, and that's a completion. It's as easy as that. But Collins does an amazing job reading Favre's eyes and getting the pick. Harvin on that route, that's the kind of thing I don't think you're going to see on Sunday. I know people have said, people have written me, people have tweeted me that the Vikings are incapable of a focused performance. They are just absolutely, all over the map, and there will be, the Packers will win in a walk. And I don't think that's the case. I think that building is a house of horrors. It always has been for the Packers. I think the defensive line, while everything that Tom said, everything that we've seen on tape, while they are, yes, they are not playing as well as they have in the past. I think you will see they will look quite different on Sunday with the noise. That place will no doubt be generating. They'll look much quicker. And I think Chad Clifton will have a much harder time with Jared Allen. The last time Jared Allen went up against Chad Clifton in the Dome, he made Chad Clifton's life miserable. This was 2 years ago. He didn't do it last year, obviously, because Clifton was injured. But 2 years ago, He made Clifton's life absolutely miserable.
Do you remember the Rams playoff game?
How can I forget? You mean the 6-interception game?
Yeah.
Was it 5? I forget.
Does it matter?
Nope.
That's going to be what it's like for Brett Favre in his own house of horrors that is his home field advantage, okay?
All right.
Because the same thing that happened when the Minnesota Vikings, this whole global ticketing system, okay? You're going to see, I guarantee you, there's going to be more Packer fans.
I actually agree with this.
Okay? There's going to be more Packer fans at the Metrodome than there were Vikings fans at Lambeau Field.
And let me tell you, there were a lot of Viking fans at Lambeau Field.
And let me just, okay, you can rely, you can put it in the bank. The man is a Packer legend. He knows where this is going. This is going with him out on a cart, 7 interceptions, in the dirt, Clay Matthews the third, okay? Because the future of the Green Bay Packers is here, and it doesn't matter if it's in a dome or in the on the tundra.
I agree with that. And someone on the live blog just made a great point. Aaron, I can't give the last name, Barrett. The Pack needs to jump out early to get the crowd on Childress. I think that is absolutely true.
Oh, yeah.
I will say this, though. If you're a Packer fan in attendance and the Viking fans are shouting, "Fire Childress."
Oh, man.
You have to respond with, you have to respond with, "Please keep Childress." Because the last thing you want as a Packer fan is a competent coach coming into Minnesota.
You know what? It would be hard, though, if I was at the game because I would still be feeling their pain. And I'd be like, "Fire Childress, too." Probably. I'd probably do a little mix.
Yeah, it'd be hard.
You know, so you're like back and forth. Fire Childress.
It would probably, you know what it would degenerate into?
Fire Childress.
What it would be? It would be like a, "We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you?" situation with the Vikings and Packers fans. That's what it would be.
If that's happening, though, it's because Packers are winning.
It's because this game's going way out of hand.
It's last night, and the Redskins are the Vikings. And the Philadelphia Eagles are the Green Bay Packers.
That's what I'm talking about. Speaking of nothing at all, just because we need a segue, let's call Brian Carabo. All
right.
That's how we roll here. That's how I do it. I ain't got no stinking segues.
That's so MSNBC and Fox to have a segue.
True. We're not
That's so cable
here.
News.
We're not political.
It's on Daily
Hello,
Show.
Hello, guys.
Brian! How are you, Brian?
Very good. Can't complain.
Well, you could, but who's listening? So, how was your trip? You went down south.
Fantastic. I couldn't have asked for a better trip. Got to see New Orleans and went to Bourbon Street and the French Quarter and all those good things. But the Louisiana State game was more than I ever could have imagined. Southern hospitality at its finest. Got free food, shrimp boil, crab boil, free drinks, and even free tickets from LSU fans. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. Seriously?
Seriously.
Nice.
I suggest anybody go just pick a college football game and wear Wisconsin gear. That's my ticket, actually. I wear Wisconsin gear, and it's just a topic of conversation everywhere I walk because people are like, "What are you doing here?" And it just it opens doors. It's fantastic, and it's an amazing experience.
So I know you're obviously a very big college football guy. Obviously, this is known. This is known.
This is yeah.
And you are obviously a huge Packer fan. We get that. So what is it about the college game that draws you to it, and I know, and like you are, there is no question, you are a huge Packer fan, but and you have said this on the record that you're a much bigger college football fan. What is it about the college game that you find more, I guess, that I don't know, more inspiring, more, it makes you more passionate about it? What is it about the college game that you like instead of the pro game?
It's the pageantry, I guess. It's the cheerleaders, it's the mascots, it's the bands, it's the fight songs, it's college game day in front of a raucous crowd every Saturday morning, and it's things like my road trip, just striking up conversations with fans, talking college football around the nation. It really is interesting. And don't get me wrong, I love pro football. I love
the
Packers.
No, we know you do. We know you do. I'm genuinely interested. Yeah. So it's more the milieu, if you will, and not so much the actual game itself. Because to me, and I've tweeted this, and I've talked to people about this. I really try to get into college football, and I just can't.
Yeah,
it's just the game itself. Just doesn't. It's not as fast. It's not as,
and the whole one foot in thing. That's weak.
There's the whole one foot in thing. But I'm not worried about that.
Unbalanced.
But it's unbalanced. And I understand that, you know, there's SEC and there's some teams that are better than others and you got to get to the good games and whatever. But I don't know. There's something about the game that just makes it hard for me to get into.
Granted, the talent isn't as good, but, you know, there's something there, too, where I think you see greater variety in college. You get to see air it out teams like Texas Tech used to do,
right,
and Wisconsin, just a ground game like you don't see in the pros, and everything in between from the spread option and things like that. So there's some variety there that you don't see in the pros that I like as well. But yeah, the pageantry and the milieu, as you say.
All right, yeah.
Brian, everybody wants to know about the sandwich.
I'm in the dark. What's the sandwich?
Yeah.
I think I tweeted. I went to Central Grocery in New Orleans, which is where they invented the muffuletta sandwich.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
which
one.
Is kind of just like an Italian salami sandwich, but it's got this olive spread on it that's just heavenly, and it's
I've had that. That's
a
good sandwich.
You know, it's going to the where it originated was really cool and huge.
Okay, like I have to say this just so it's because we do record these shows. If we remember to press record,
mm-hmm.
Max Ginsburg has the quote of the night for me. Anyway, I prefer to watch East Dillon Lions instead of college football. I'm right there with you, Max.
There you go.
Right there with you. So Brian. Sunday football against the Vikings. We hate them. They hate us. It's awesome. Brian, don't break my heart. Tell me. Corey's got us locked down. Alex Talish has got the Packers locked down for a win. But none of that means anything to me until I hear what Brian Caribou has to say. What's going to happen Sunday, Brian?
Let me say this. I would not be surprised in the least, in the little, if the Packers lose. That said, I think the Packers are more talented than the Vikings. I think the Vikings are spinning out of control. They just have problems upon problems there, upon problems upon problems. And I think the Packers win in a bitter battle in deference to our friends on the show here.
Nice.
And,
nice.
You know,
nicely done, Caribou.
Packers by – it wouldn't surprise me to see the Packers win by one or – you know, so that's my prediction. Packers by one. Something
there you
like
go.
21-20.
It's a Packers victory, and that's what I'll take. So we've
got
three Packer victories tonight.
Hold on.
All right.
How many Brett Favre interceptions, Brian? Come on. And how many Clay Matthews sacks? Come on.
I believe him. Brett Favre, he's got to throw some interceptions.
Yeah,
I mean, the Packers are... they were, prior to this week, I believe, number one in the NFL in interceptions,
mm-hmm.
if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
And,
I'll go
you know,
with that.
So I can see them having two or something like that. So
okay, so two picks. How many sacks for Clay Matthews?
Clay? Two as well. Why not?
There you go. Two and two.
He's got to keep the sack leader going.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What is he at, 10 and a half now? We got to get some
I wish.
More.
Oh, one of my favorite things this entire week.
Yeah.
Clay Matthews sounds the game.
Yeah, that was
ridiculous. I watched it like 12 times, and I showed it to Rachel, and she's like, those are like every guy I ever dated in high school. And then there was this whole conversation after that was very weird.
What I didn't get.
But it was awesome.
I'm not like you. I don't go there. But what I don't get is that like he has one voice when he's interviewed, and then he has a totally different voice on the field. But, you know, I guess that's just how when you're all amped up
yeah.
in the game, whatever. All right, so Brian's got them. They got the Packers by one over the Vikings. Corey and Alex have us, the Packers, Just in a blowout?
Trounced.
Corey? Trouncing? Trouncing the Vikings because they're terrible.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you win by a touchdown, you've been trounced in this league.
There you go. That's probably true.
But I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take anything. I'll take one, as Brian has got. I'll take
Brian,
one.
Brian,
point.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Special Teams Expert. Do the Packers kick to Harvin? Or do they pick up right where they left off as far as you know, the short kicks and the squib kicks and things like that?
I think they do pick up where they left off. I mean, maybe early on until it's I don't know. I'll say they don't kick to them, but if they get up, they might, you know.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go. I'll take that. I'll buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. See what you got.
All right. Brian Caravu back from the down south.
Back from the Muffaletta.
Muffaletta. Fantastic. Brian, great to have you back. Look forward to your writing this week on Cheesehead TV. As
yes.
always, wonderful to have you on. Brian Caravu, thanks so much. Have a great night.
Thanks, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Brian Caravu, not only contributor here at Cheesehead TV, not only the editor of this fine magazine behind me, the Maple Street Press Packers Annual, but also now the editor of the Maple Street Press Brewers Annual.
Mm.
Man, it is Wisconsin sports. That's all I got to say. You want to know about some Wisconsin sports? Talk to Brian Caravu. Hell, you want to talk about college sports in general? Talk to Brian Caravu. You want to talk sports? Talk to Brian Caravu. That's all I got to say. I'm pretty sure about it, yeah. That pretty much covers it. It's Corey Behnke. 13 minutes left.
Yes, I know exactly what we need to do right now. Are you ready for this?
Is it that time?
Yep.
Is it that time? Hit it!
This week, it's the Packer Blogosphere!
This week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series, where we shine the light on not one, but two multi-team blogs.
Mm.
Is this a phase?
This is a phenomenon.
Is this a fad?
It's a phenomenon.
Is this a going concern for people?
I remember what I said about purple pants, green jersey.
What was that?
It's like eating a peanut butter and crap sandwich. I just remembered it. I don't know how, but it is.
Awesome.
And
a peanut butter and crap sandwich.
There you go.
You couldn't be more correct, sir.
So there you go. So but
so wait, so
it's
wait.
The phenomenon.
So you've got purple pants
and
green
a
jersey.
If
which okay, fine. I let that slide. But now we've got the bitter border battle.
Well, they actually have two extra teams.
Yeah,
so they include
the
Lions.
You know what they're
the
talking
Lions
about?
And the Bears, like the way they have their logo.
Yeah. But you know what they're talking about. There ain't no bitter border battle with the Lions. There's a freaking lake in between the two of them. Come on. Oh, we're not talking about the UP. You know the people in the UP cheer for the Packers. Come
it's
on.
It's true because I have relatives in the UP and they're all Packer.
They're
fans.
They're all Packer fans
or Carolina fans.
Mariucci was a Packer fan growing up. He wasn't no Lion fan.
No, exactly.
Come on. So, bitter border battle. Purple pants, green jersey. What? Where are the upstart Packer blogs? What has happened? What has happened to our blog?
Everybody wants to be SB Nation before they can be, you know.
You gotta take some baby steps. Now, I know our buddy Max would quibble with this, as he did when we met him this summer. When he said that, you know, he lives in Minnesota. He's got access to I've seen him. He's been on, like, players have barbecues and whatnot, and the guy is there, like, interviewing Vikings players.
That's
so
cool.
That's what he's got to do. And I suppose we would be smart to maybe start talking about the Giants and the Jets since we have access to these people. But you know what? Our passion is too strong for that nonsense. That and we just suck. But, you know, there's that as well.
Found an Idaho saying Pocket Doppler. Pocket Doppler is Wisconsin sports, though.
Yes, it's Wisconsin sports.
They don't
cover, you know, the Packers and the Vikings. They don't cover the Brewers and the Cardinals. They don't cover, Or I'm sorry, that should have been and the Cubs, obviously.
There you go.
Yeah, they don't cover the Bucks and whoever's relevant this week.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight it's the Lakers, and this has a Packer connection. Bunch of Packers in the house
tonight. Nick Barnett tweeted a picture.
Desmond Bishop, Aaron Rodgers, Brandon Chiller, all Jarrett Bush, all at the Bucks game tonight versus the Lakers. Okay, you know, here's what's upsetting. It's Clay Matthews is cheering for the Lakers. Okay, that's just wrong. Good to see Finley. Jermichael Finley's on the right side. He's cheering for the home team.
There you go.
But they said, I saw some reports that the stadium was only like 80% full. You had the defending champs in town.
Not surprising.
And you're only pulling in 80% of your stadium. Welcome to basketball.
That's all right. 80% of the Metrodome's going to be Packer fans.
That's what we like to hear. Come on now.
Thanks to Cheesehead Tick.
Yeah, people.
There you go. Tick IQ. That's what's going to happen.
I'm not going to name names, but somebody directed one of our readers via Twitter to Titletown Tickets. People.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Come on.
If you're a fan of
Cheesehead TV in any way, shape, or form.
I order from Cheesehead Tick.
Come on.
T-I-Q. I ordered from it for our Jets tickets, and we had front row tickets. Those were awesome.
Rope.
And it's awesome because you can filter by e-ticket, so even if you're going to buy like that day, you can be like, oh, let me go to the stadium real quick.
What more do you need?
E-ticket.
What more do you need?
It's awesome.
So, Corey, we're not going to be at the game on Sunday.
Nope.
We're not going to be at any games anytime soon.
Nope.
But I'm starting to think maybe we should make a Cheesehead TV pilgrimage to that Patriot game.
Mm.
I'm starting to think.
December is going to be a Packer transplants.
It's going to be rough. That's true.
It's going to be the Packer transplants desert.
It's going to be rough.
People are going to be really mad, I think, if they don't have Packer transplants. Like the two people that watch us.
Yeah. Well, we'll make something happen. It won't be Packer transplants as they know it, but we'll make something happen. Because as those of you who aren't aware, Corey Mankey is grand poobah of the ball dropping in Times Square on New Year's Eve.
I'm like the little poobah.
So he's very busy.
The minor, minor,
December,
minor.
Getting ready for, you know, whatever the hell it is he does.
Well, that ball drops regardless of what any of us do, but.
This is true.
It's fun. It's fun to watch, and it takes a long time. It's like planning 100 weddings.
Kudos.
I always laugh at wedding planners, and they're like, oh, my wedding. I had 150 people there. I'm like, yeah, try 500,000. Thanks.
Okay, people, Saturday night, Brits Pub in Minneapolis. Be there. All right, if you're listening to this now live, or if you're listening on iTunes later, or on the site, on an MP3, because you're not an Apple person, people, tweet up Saturday night in Minneapolis at Brits Pub. Max Ginsburg is the ringleader, apparently.
Max Ginsburg, and he is really awesome, too, by the way.
Even though he makes...
It's fun to hang out with.
The most crap-tastic sandwiches you've ever tasted in your
peanut
life.
Butter and crap.
Well... I'm pretty sure if I tasted a peanut butter and crap sandwich, I would only remember the crap.
If you didn't know that there was crap in it, I actually think it could be good.
I hope our last two statements are put on t-shirts for all to see at some point. So there we go. Let's just wrap this up because we had the longest show ever in the history of Packer transplants last week.
Let's shorten it up.
So this week we'll have one of the shorter shows because we're coming off a bye week. So that's excusable, right?
Yep.
That's totally commendable.
Want to thank Tom Pelissero.
We got to... And Eric Walden. You know what I think? I think Eric Walden's chillness, like his laid-back demeanor, absolutely affected this entire show. In a good way. Like, there were no outbursts.
No.
There was no ranting.
There's nothing really to rant about.
Very professional. Well, you're coming off a bye week. It's hard. You know. There's
6-3.
Like McCarthy likes to say, it's all there in front of him.
I mean, where else would you rather be right now? I mean, you could win a couple more games, but at the end of the day, losing those games is a good place to be. It's a good maturation, and, you know.
I'll take 6-3.
I'll take it.
Well, I'm going to do a blog post later this week about Mike McCarthy and the fact that he can never, ever start fast. It just is not in a game, in a half, in a season. Even that 13-3 season. I don't care. You were still on the edge of your seat every week.
Sure.
He can't start. The guys can't start fast. But I think the second half. I know people are concerned about the schedule and yada yada. And let me just say this before we sign off here. A lot of naysaying Packer fans out there.
Always
a whole lot of talking on the blog about how, oh yeah, they're 6-3 now, and oh yeah, they've got these wins. But oh, this second half of the season, oh, there's a tough part of the schedule coming up. People, It's not who you play. It's when you play them. And this year in the NFL, when you play them,
every week
is different. Yeah. Every week.
Yeah, look at the Cowboys and the Giants.
Is different.
Jeez Louise.
You don't know who you're going to see from week to week. All you can control is how you do, how the Packers do. They can only control how well they play. And who they face from week to week is immaterial.
That's true.
Yes, yes. Oh, gosh, they got to face the Patriots. And they got to face the Falcons. You know what? They can beat the Falcons. They can beat the Patriots.
Yes.
So just stop. Stop with the negativity. Get on board. What did Rodgers say? Get on board or shut up. Get on board, people. It's time for the Packers to go on a run. All the way to the playoffs and beyond.
Yeah, because I need to go to a home playoff game. Dang it.
Do it for Banky.
Okay.
All right, well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. Big thanks, as always, for our special guests, Eric Walden and Tom Pelissero, as well as Nathan and Austin from Bitter Border Battle, for joining us on the live blog.
Yes.
And speaking of the live blog, thanks, as always, to Brian Caravu and Alex Talish, along with Holly Phelps and Jamie Jors and the rest of the crew. You guys really helped make this an experience unlike any other on the internet for Packer fans all across the world. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Go Pack Go. See you soon.